Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bundle of Oi. I'm the co-host, Doug.
And I'm Amy.
Oh, I thought you were going to have your fun little sign on.
I can't even remember what it was. I'm the coolest podcaster in town.
There it is, the coolest podcaster in town.
That's Amy. That's me.
So we're sorry, a little look behind the scenes, but we're slightly late in recording this and getting that to you. But we had sort of a weird week in where one of us was gone for like the first chunk of the week, and then the other was gone for the second chunk of the week, so we didn't get to record at our usual time.
But yep, but we're both here now, and we're
ready to go.
Yeah. So what's on? I don't even know what we're talking about today. Doug made the agenda and has not consulted me, so this will be a surprise to both the audience and me.
It'll be a surprise. I did want to start off with a breaking bulletin about I want to talk about DuckTales.
Oh my God, I can't even contribute to this.
Oh, you can.
Do you want me to tell you what I think DuckTales is about?
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is great. We can do this. This is our feature again, where Amy describes something she's not familiar with. So first, I want you to tell the audience what you think DuckTales is about.
I think I got this one.
Okay.
Okay.
To be fair, you've seen like 50% of the first episode of the original series.
Yes, and for some reason, you're obsessed with this show. And I think,
as is everyone else born in 1980, which is what I'm
kind of curious
about.
Well, I was going to say my best friend was born in 1981, and she seems to be obsessed with it as well.
Mm-hmm. We all just
maybe was not like, as obsessed as you.
But it was part of the
you guys can duke it out.
We can. It was part of what was called the Disney Afternoon, which was this series of shows that were scheduled perfectly. That like when you got home from school, there they were, like these four different Disney shows, and this was the flagship one. It was the best one, too.
Oh, okay. What were the other ones? Do you remember?
Oh, sure. The second one was Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Okay.
Which was like, Chippendale were detectives and solved crimes.
Okay.
Which was pretty, that was a pretty good one. There was Tailspin, which was like, all the characters from the Jungle Book, except like Baloo runs like a shipping company. Like he's a pilot, so he ships things, but he's kind of a smuggler. And then, like, other Jungle Book characters are in it. But, again, there's no reference to the original Jungle Book. It's just like, hey, it's Baloo as a pilot. And here's Shere Khan as a magnate, like some sort of tycoon as a bad guy. And then the last one was Darkwing Duck.
Okay.
Who was, like, basically Batman. He was a superhero that solved crimes at night. And he was pretty bumbling and cool. And then there were a few other shows that flitted in and out of it later. I think after DuckTales went away, they had to shuffle things and replace them. So there were a few others that came in that I was less familiar with or into. So there is the Disney Afternoon. So what do you think DuckTales
is? Well, I was going to interject for just a second. Tangent!
Tangent on a tangent!
So you might have liked late 80s TV shows.
Yes.
But I liked late 80s video games that were Disney-centric.
Oh, interesting. So you were playing like the DuckTales game is widely considered one of the best.
I was not playing that. It was on our old computer. I had two that I like loved. It was Mickey's Space Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And where you had to like be Mickey and you had to like go around collecting crystals and then you like flew off into space and collected crystals in space.
Mm-hmm. A lot of old games were like all about like collect all the, like basically you're a Hoover vacuum. You just got to go collect all the things.
Well, and then the other one was Donald Duck's Playground where you had to go and like, so there were like different lands you went to, like different jobs. So you were Donald Duck and you could like go to like the lumber yard and you had to like collect whatever. And then you had to like
go somewhere else and collect the whatever.
And then you had to go to like the fruit yard and like collect the fruit in the buckets. And there were like three of those. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the shop and you buy the stuff and you build a playground for your nephews.
Oh, okay.
And so that was my favorite.
And who were the nephews?
I think it was Rudolph.
Nope.
And Prancer.
Nope. Those are definitely not Donald's nephews.
But going back into that, so my definition of DuckTales.
Yes.
Is that Donald Duck has nephews, and there's three of them, and they solve crimes. And they're kind of like Indiana Jones, but like.
That's closer.
Maybe not crimes, but they're like. Is it kind of like The Librarian? Where they're, like, trying to find... Do you like that reference?
Yes, there is definitely... Indiana Jones is a huge influence on it. Although, in a way, the original... This derives out of, like, old school Disney like comic books and stuff from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, of which actually inspired Indiana Jones. But the premise is Donald Duck drops off his nephews with his uncle, Scrooge McDuck, and who is the main character. Because Donald is a sailor and is needed in the Navy. He's got to go off and fight wars against the Russians, I guess, because he's in the Navy in the 80s.
Is he related to Howard the Duck?
No, we can talk about Howard the Duck at a later time, which is a whole other crazy thing.
I know,
thing,
I've seen that movie.
Oh, that is a terrible movie. Go on. But, all right, so Scrooge McDuck is the richest duck in the world. This is a totally 80s idea that he is the richest duck in the world and our hero. But he is a self-made trillionaire or something. And so he ends up taking the boys, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Okay.
And they live with him along with some other characters. But many of their adventures do involve, like, the search for lost treasures and things. But there's also, like...
more like lost treasures, not, like, solving the death of somebody.
Well, some say they might solve a mystery or rewrite history, as the song.
That's the song.
That is the song.
That's the song.
They do all kinds of things. I mean, it's not just the treasure hunting. There's all kinds of stuff to it. But they all have little adventures and stuff. But the characters are really endearing.
I feel like there's something about them, like, diving into gold or something.
Yeah. So Scrooge keeps his money in a giant, what he calls his money bin, which is essentially a giant rectangle full of money. And he does dive into it, which, of course, if it was real, you would probably snap your neck and die. But, yes, he likes to go swimming in his pool of money. The reason I even brought DuckTales up at all was that they finally did a reboot after all these years. And it was actually pretty good. And I was watching it with Celeste. And we were having a good little time watching it.
But okay.
They really captured the spirit of it, which was cool. I still like the original better, but it's worthy. And I'm glad that a new generation of people, kids might glom onto it. So,
okay.
But,
good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
And maybe we'll watch it at some point.
Okay, let's...
With her.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was why I wanted to talk about DuckTales, but I thought it would be funny because it came up and I thought, I know Amy doesn't know what it is, so I want to hear her explain.
Oh, you like this segment.
I think it's really fun.
Well, you have to surprise me every week and ask me about something, because if I know in advance, then I'll prep. And
oh, yeah.
I can't study. Like, that's against the grain of, like, the game. So.
Yeah.
So you'll have to think of something next week for me to explain. You'll have to, like...
We'll have to come up organically.
Yeah, you have to slide it into the conversation, though. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So, parenting.
Yep.
We should probably...
We're still parents.
I have a couple of things on here. In no particular order. We can start with Mommy Trip to Vegas.
Okay.
Since that's kind of current events.
Okay. So. Yeah, I went to Vegas. Today's Tuesday, and I went Friday through Sunday with some college friends. So Daddy was on Daddy duty.
Which is turnabout is fair play, because you were on full-time mommy duty, because the earlier half of the week I was in this trial about 2 hours away from here. So I was staying away at sleepaway lawyer camp for that.
Yeah. And it felt really good to be able to just be like, peace out on Friday morning.
Yeah. So I got home on Thursday. You left Friday morning.
Yeah.
So we tag teamed it.
So I drove out there with a friend and then we stayed two nights. And actually came away as a winner.
Yeah.
Not including food and hotel. But, I mean, drinks are basically free in Vegas.
But gambling-wise, you were ahead.
Gambling, I did my math when I was there, and it was ahead 70. But somehow when I got home, it was only ahead 30. So I don't know what it is, but I know I didn't lose it. It was somewhere between $30 and $70.
Anything ahead of break-even is okay.
So it was a really fun trip.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too crazy, because we're all moms, and we were tired and in bed by... No, well, let's see. The first night, I think we were in bed by like 11, and the second night, Kim and I stayed up a little bit later.
Yeah, so you went with your friend Jessica, and her daughter is
she'll be a year
old almost
in like a couple weeks, I think.
Right, so she's about, I don't know, 6 months younger than Celeste,
something
give or take.
Like that. Yeah,
and
then my other friend from college has a 5 year old, and no, I think she's six, and it's a 6 and a 4. We're 6 and a 4.
So how did it feel being on that trip and knowing like, oh, we're all mommies now with pretty
young
kids?
Well, I will say like 75% of the conversation was about our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I mean, I haven't seen Kim in a couple of years, I think now. And it's like it was like we'd just seen each other yesterday.
Yeah.
But we talked about our kids a lot. It didn't really feel that much different though. I mean, we're still the same silly girls that we were in college.
That's true, but I think it must be different when it's like, oh, you know, your thoughts are so monopolized by
totally. And I mean,
children.
We had to like go back to the room so Jessica could pop. Sorry, Jessica. You know, so it's like you're kind of like guided. Like she's still breastfeeding a little bit, so like that was like oh, my boobs are getting full. I have to go back to the room. So it was like something that like would have never come up 10 years ago when we went to, because we've been going to Vegas now since we were 22.
If that happens and you don't have kids, you should see a doctor.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a little bit different of a trip, but I mean, for me, it wasn't, I mean, aside from talking about her, I was able to just kind of go and I didn't really stress out about her too much. I mean, we FaceTimed a couple times.
You didn't feel weird being away at all?
No, I mean, I hope that doesn't make me a terrible person. I know some moms can't leave their kids. You were gone for like
less than 72 hours. I think
it's
okay.
I mean, it was 2 nights. It wasn't really that big of a deal. I don't know. I'm not so like anxious about that kind of stuff. Like, I'm okay with being away from her for a little bit. Like, I don't think that she's like not going to know mommy when I get home. And no. Everything is totally fine now.
But I don't think you would have, if you were to predict how, before you had her, and if I told you, okay, you're going to go away when she's almost a year and a half for a couple of nights, how do you think you'll feel? And I bet if we had had that conversation at that time, you would be like, I'll be a wreck.
No, I don't think it a year and a half. Because I know when she, like, we were supposed to go to Pageant of the Masters. It's like an art thing here nearby our house.
It's a show.
It's a show. And I know we had talked to your mom about it before Celeste was born. And I was like, I don't know. And Celeste would have been like 3 months old last year when we went, 4 months old, something like that. I was like, I don't know that I'm going to go. I might be breastfeeding. I don't know that I want to leave her. So I think like early on, I felt like I didn't want to predict how things would go because I thought like I might want to be home with her more. But I don't know. I didn't think I'd like be a super clingy mom or anything like. Where I wouldn't be able to leave her.
I thought maybe you'd be more anxious is the term I would use. Or not necessarily a helicopter or anything like that. But I feel like it would eat at you a little more to be gone.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I mean, it's healthy to be able to just go away for a little bit. And
yeah,
trust
I mean,
that
I wouldn't be able to do it if I didn't have a trustworthy mate. Like, I mean, it would suck that I couldn't feel comfortable leaving you.
But you don't.
But I don't, so it's not an issue. How much, like, were you really alone with her anyways, though? Because, so I left Friday morning, and your mom babysat all day until you got home at, like, 5.
Right.
So you had a couple hours on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, your parents came over.
For only, like, maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Oh, okay. So you had all day Saturday. That was a long day.
And even the funny thing was, she was asleep for a good chunk of the time they were here. So it almost didn't matter. I got home at 5 on Friday. She went to sleep. Let me think.
Oh, you had a rough night that night, didn't you?
I did. She had
I was telling my friends I was so glad that she saved it for you and not me.
Yeah.
Which is terrible, but it's like, I just don't function on little sleep like you do.
The fight was going to sleep, and I have that as actually things. I called it sleep fight, but yeah, she would not go down.
No, you woke up in the middle of the night and how they'd like hold her in bed.
That was, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So first it was hard to get her to sleep. Then in the middle of the night, she had a nightmare or something, and I couldn't, I could calm her down when I was holding her. I tried giving her a bottle, but she sucked down and she was hungry, but she still would not go back to sleep without daddy. So I finally brought her into our bedroom and put her in bed because at least like, all right, now I don't have to physically hold you. You can be next to me. And she went to sleep after
that. Did she sleep on her belly?
Yeah. And I was just
on my pillow or you moved the pillow?
She was in the middle. And so I just stayed there on my side.
And you moved the blanket so she couldn't like suffocate.
Well, she was actually, I had her kind of tucked in slightly. But... No, I was awake.
You need to be careful about that.
Well, I wasn't going to sleep anyway. I was just awake.
You thought she'd maybe roll over the side or something?
Yeah, I didn't want to go to sleep or even me roll on her. And I know it's, you know, the odds of something bad happening are kind of unlikely, but I just felt like, you know, I got to supervise this. I don't want her to fall off the bed. What if she gets up after I fall asleep and, you know, wanders around?
You think you would sleep too deep that you wouldn't hear her wake up?
I don't know. I didn't know. It was too... So I ended up staying awake for that... all the way through.
That's crazy.
It was rough. And then, she fell asleep sometime around 10:30 and slept for like 2.5 hours. So, and that's around the time my parents came and we were working on a project. So, and so she was up for about an hour or so while they were still here. And then they left. So it was really only an hour.
Okay.
And then it was all me for the rest of it. So keeping her occupied.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard. It's hard to, you know, you can only entertain her in the house for so long.
That's what the issue that I have is keeping her busy enough in the house, because at some point you run out of books to read.
Yeah.
You go back and forth between the couple of rooms.
Well, you did give us a bunch of errands to run, so I that did. Helped.
Wait, not really. I gave you one errand. I did, you didn't even remember to do the other one.
I didn't. We did a couple.
You did one.
I did. I got the diaper pail.
Yep.
And then we did a bunch of shopping for things. And I guess that was, that yeah, ate the, up most of it.
The pail was my only errand that I gave you.
The other one.
Your dad did the other one.
He did. So, getting back to the sleep fight thing, I don't know what this is now, but she's developed this thing where she kind of cries before she goes out, or sometimes she straight up, like, you know, really fights it.
I mean, I don't even think it's a real cry. It's, to me, it's like the phoniest, wah, wah, like she's, like, trying to make herself cry.
She could be.
I don't think it's a real cry.
Hmm. Well, it went on and on and on for too long.
I'm sure that the middle of the night one was maybe...
Well, that was a real situation.
That was
a
real situation. That's not part of this.
No. I'm talking about the initial, like, it's 8 o'clock, time to go to bed, let's do this.
Yeah. I just, for nap times, I just leave her. I know that makes me terrible, but I don't think
she usually gives up after about 3 minutes.
And yeah, then goes I mean, to sleep. Sometimes it's like 15 minutes of, like, fake whine or rolling around. And if she's not asleep by, like, 15 minutes, like, today I tried to put her down. Well, she slept today in the car for me, she slept for, like, 20 minutes. And then we got home, had lunch, and she kept rubbing her eyes. I was like, I need to try for more because you barely slept. So I put her up there. She whined her fake whine. And then she, like, started playing in her crib. And so after 15 minutes, I was like, all right, I can't just leave her up there. She's not going to sleep.
Yeah.
She didn't sleep for the rest of the day.
And I don't know what the solution is because, you know, you can't just, like, hit her with a trank dart. She's got to, you know, she's going to do it on her
eventually.
Own. Yeah. It must be a regression or a phase or something.
Yeah. I think it's, like, sort of separation anxiety or, like, she feels like she's going to miss out on something.
Maybe.
She always says no. Are you tired? No. She did that on the way home today when she had her tiny nap in the car. The second I put her in the car, I was like, conk. And I had asked her, I was like, are you tired? Do you think you're going to sleep on the way home? No.
No.
And then full on asleep, not snore. I didn't hear her snoring.
Well, now she can imitate snoring, which is cute. You
I
tell
know,
her to sleep.
I taught her that. It's so cute.
You tell her to sleep and it's like you tell a dog to play dead. Like she just drops to the ground and then you tell her to snore and she just fakes a snore sound.
We did that at a Gymboree.
So cute.
There's like this big thing that looks like a mattress. So we'll go over to it and I'll be like, pretend to sleep now. And she'll do her fake snore.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's good that we teach her these tricks.
Yeah, she's got to perform on command.
Right. Next, we buy her a unicycle.
Is that what she's doing next?
Yep, unicycle.
She's going to juggle?
Well, I can't teach her to juggle, but I'm not very good at it.
I'd like to teach her the trick of reading before age 2.
Also good. Yes.
We worked on flashcards today.
Oh, yeah? How'd she do?
She did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
She knows a lot of them. She can't read them, but she knows the pictures.
Yeah.
We really were looking for the star one. I couldn't find it.
She likes saying star now.
She really does.
She's very proud of herself that she knows that
word.
So
we got the sun one, and that looked sort of like a star, and she said star.
Oh, okay. I think she understands it as something that radiates, you know, like points. You know,
I don't know that she knows that there's radiation.
Not I mean radiation. I mean, like, there's, like, spokes coming off of it.
Yes, the spokes, but not the actual, like, similarity between, like, a sun being a star. I think that's a little bit too...
Well, I noticed she was able to tell, she was able to differentiate, you know, she knows what a star is beyond just a 5-pointed star because she saw a 6-pointed star and she said star. So she definitely understands the concept of a star is not more than just 5 points.
It's, okay.
So
it's the shape, really.
Yeah.
I don't think she's counting how many edges there are.
But that's what I mean. She understands this, like, abstract concept more than even the actual, like, you know, shape. Like, she doesn't think that the 6-pointed star is something different than the 5.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. So, other topic I had, just to crash land a segue here without having one.
I was going to say, that was like the most awkward.
I didn't know. Unless you had something else you wanted to add to.
No, you're riding this ship. I'm like so anxious to go play with my sewing machine. I'm okay. Let's go.
Oh, man. I'm so not anxious to have to set up that sewing machine.
I know, because you know what's going to happen, right? Let's talk about that.
Oh, what's going to happen is we're going to have to. You want to put it on this desk that it used to be my computer desk that will require me to clean up all of that.
Oh, no, I'm not even thinking about that.
Oh, you're thinking of just taking it out of the box, then you're going to want to play with it, then you're not going to be able to figure it out immediately,
and then
you're going to hate it and cry and say you want to return it.
No, and then who else is going to be involved with that process?
Me.
And who's going to yell at you?
You.
Because anytime I can't figure something out,
it's within like you don't even give yourself like a day to figure it out.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
So fun for you.
No, no. What'll happen is you'll ask me to help you, and I'm not in any better position because this is not a thing I know very well. And then you're going to get mad at me for not knowing how to set up the sewing machine. And it's going
to be... Yes, it's going to be amazing. I will post about it. It'll be on my Instagram stories. Follow me on Instagram.
Where you yell at me for not knowing this thing. Same thing that you don't know.
But you know that that's
going to happen. But then you also... Then the kicker is you accuse me of not caring. It's always like...
It's definitely possible.
Oh, there's totally the like... It's beyond just like, I don't know. It's that now I'm doing it to spite you or something. Like, why don't you... You don't care. Why come you don't take an interest in my interest? I'm like, I don't know how to do this. What do you want from me?
I've ever said that.
You definitely said something to the effect of like, whenever this happens, it's like, I don't... Somehow it's because I don't care or I'm not interested enough. Like, why don't I care more?
No,
like,
this is
your hobby.
I think it's more of a blatant disgust at you.
Okay, it's just generalized disgust.
It's generalized, like, why don't you know how to do that? You should have researched this weeks ago. You should have anticipated that I was going to ask you this.
Right, you should have remembered your sixth grade home economics and you know how to do it.
Yeah,
I took it. I had to. Well, I didn't have to, but it was part of a, they called it the exploratory wheel, which makes it sound amazing. It was two different things. I wanted to do drama, and if you took drama, you only got it for one semester. You had to take home ec as the other one. So I just took that as a trade-off.
I think we had home ec too, but I don't remember using a sewing machine.
I feel like we did cooking, maybe? We did that too.
And I feel like we learned about the food triangle pyramid.
I learned how to scramble an egg. I remember that.
You're pretty good at scrambling eggs. Yeah. I like your eggs over easy.
Do you? That's good.
You know how I like my eggs?
Like your men?
No. Oh. Fertilized.
Oh, fertilized.
That was my good dad joke of the day.
Oh, that's good.
No fertilized eggs here.
Yeah, I was not great with the sewing machine.
This is promising.
I made a...
You made a bear or something in the garage.
It's a shark. It's a little shark.
Okay. And a pillow.
Yeah, that is the pillow.
Okay.
I made that. I made an apron, which actually came out kind of okay.
Okay.
And the other thing I did was I put the needle through my finger.
Oh, cool. All the way through.
It went all the way through, not the other side. But it was through the fingertip. It wasn't like through the bone or anything.
But did it miss your nail?
No, it hit the edge of my nail, went through the nail and through the, like, you know, the fleshy part of the end of my finger. My middle finger. Well, I remember distinctly how it happened. Because I'm sitting there and I'm sewing chunk, and something distracted me and I went, huh? And I looked away. And then I hear the machine go chonk. I didn't even feel it at first. And then I tried to pull my hand away, and it wouldn't.
Oh my god! It was like hurts.
My hand couldn't move.
It hurts to hear it.
And it didn't hurt nearly as bad as I thought something like that would, because it is fleshy and it's kind of, you know.
It sounds like horrifying.
No, it wasn't too bad. But I remember I had to go. You know, it broke the needle.
Did you fail the class because of this?
No, so I was able to pull the needle out, and then I went to the nurse. They sent me home. It healed on its own. Why they sent me home in the middle of the day, I don't know. But I didn't look that gift horse in the mouth. So I went home and had fun with my bandaged up finger and my wounded pride. And that was the end of it. I mean, I went back to home the next day and I was, you know,
You didn't have PTSD?
No, I did not have.
So you're not going to be afraid to use it now?
Post-somatic.
Post-traumatic sewing syndrome.
Disorder?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't mean I'll be able to help you with this because it doesn't. That was probably the last time I touched a sewing machine in earnest.
It's okay. Your mom has
knowledge.
She has
knowledge. That's
the key. She has a sewing machine. I think it's the same brand.
It can't be that complicated.
She will help me.
And there will be.
I'm going to play with it before I even try one of these projects. I have a few projects I want
to. I think you definitely want to spend some time just like futzing with it.
I'll have to find an old shirt and just kind of practice going through.
Yeah, that's what you do. So I wish you good luck. Hopefully you get good at it. You can make cute little things.
I'm going to make cute little skirts and dresses and stuff for Cece. And hopefully, I kind of have this idea that I want to sell some of the dresses that I want to make.
This is ambitious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to do like a ton of them, but every once in a while, I think I want to make a dress and then just put it on Etsy and see if someone happens to find it.
Okay.
I don't need to make a whole business out of it, but just if I can come up with a cute design, I'm going to try and see what happens.
Cool. And then you got to come up with a cute name for it, too.
For my store?
Yeah.
Well, I already have an Etsy store.
Oh, yeah, but that's for photography, right?
Well, it's Amy Beth Art and Photography, so I think it covers it.
There you go.
So find me on Amy Beth Art and Photography. There's nothing listed right now. But add me as one of your favorite shops.
Right.
Someday I'll have kids' clothes.
There you go. So there's one last thing I put on here.
Okay.
And this is what I called it, controlling my kid is the best, end quote, syndrome, which is...
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like when people talk about it, when we as Americans...
It's like one-upping.
Yeah, is that where you're going? Not even necessarily one-upping, but there's definitely a tendency to, like, you know, whenever somebody else talks about their kid doing something, you contextualize it as a comparison to your kid.
Okay.
You know, it's always like, well, Mike is the best. You know, that's a fact, you know, written in stone. And therefore, any other fact must be run through that filter of like, okay. Well, but my kid's the best. And how you control that, because, you know, you're naturally inclined to feel that way because they're your kid and you love them so much, you know, but it's also irrational to some degree.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, you know, it's a way of, you know, controlling, this parental, I'd say narcissism, I guess it's partly narcissism, but it's also directed at the kid. So it's like a shared familial narcissism. We're the best. Our kid is the best because we're the best parents. And,
well, I mean, a lot of it is that you can't control, like, I hear it all the time, like, on mom forums that I'm in, like, someone will ask for advice, and then...
Then you give it, and then they get
it's
mad.
It's not me. I'm talking about, like, someone else will respond and say, well, I did it this way, my kid turned out fine, so anything else you suggest is totally the wrong way.
Right.
So it's like, I can't control how other people give advice or talk about their kid. All I can do is try not to be that person, and mm-hmm. I have to just let what I hear roll off. Are you talking about it in terms of, like, other people or us making sure we're not becoming those parents?
Both.
Or both. Okay, because I'm...
I mean, because you're right. I mean, it's certainly something that, you know, I want to be careful of because we have a lot of, you know, friends with kids, and they are wonderful kids, and they love their kids. So it's... You certainly don't want to alienate people by saying, oh, well, you know what Celeste did. You don't want to do that.
Well, I think the key is if someone's telling you something about their kid... You don't have to respond right then and there and tell them something about your kid.
No.
Like, so if my friend texts me and says, oh, so-and-so just rolled over or whatever it is, I don't have to be like, well, she rolled over when she was this age, or do you know what Celeste did today? It's like, let her have that moment.
Right.
And we'll come back to Celeste another time. It doesn't always have to be...
Yeah.
We don't both get a share at the same time.
I usually just, if I'm going to reference it her at all, it's usually like, oh, I remember when she did that. That's so fun.
Yeah.
You know, something in a non-competitive...
Yeah, that's a good response.
You know, confrontational kind of way.
It's just really hard not to brag about your kids sometimes. I guess you just have to choose who you brag to. Like, I can send my mom a million texts a day and she's happy to hear it. But maybe I don't need to, like, share everything on Facebook.
On our podcast. But, I mean, you're right. It's not...
I share a lot on... Instagram. I share pictures on Instagram, and sometimes I share pictures on Facebook, and that's really it. But I don't share every single time Celeste does something.
Well, it's also, there's a difference between just generally being proud or sharing something cute and turning it around, when using something that somebody else said about their kid and turning it around.
Yeah.
Right. That's the
worst.
Yeah.
Sometimes there'll be like surveys in the mom group that I'm in, and I'll respond, and then, like, in my actual response area, someone will, like, post a picture of their kid. And it's like, what are you doing? That's, like, that's where I posted my kid.
Feel territorial for no real reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get frustrated because it's like, wait, I was just talking about my kid. Why do you have to talk about your kid right this second where I'm talking about my kid?
Yeah, get out of my way.
So I get it. It's like, choose your time zone. Like, find an appropriate time to brag about it.
Yeah, and it's also a couple things that make it hard is, you know, we're experiencing this for the first time. So it's all new to us. So when you're talking to parents that have kids that are older than her, they're like, yeah, I've already been there and done that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking to parents of kids that are younger, you don't want to do the same thing. Oh, well, you're doing this. Well, my kid's ahead of you. And, you know, now I'm talking down to you or giving you advice about what to do because I've already been there. And that's more the pitfall that I see for me and us, just in that Celeste is generally the first
I think
out of the group, so she's older.
Just because someone's talking to you about their problem
Or not even a problem.
Or what even is going on in their kid's life. You don't have to respond with, oh, Celeste does this.
Right.
You just have to be like very mindful of like, if someone is talking to you, oh, I can't get so-and-so, like I can't get my kid to fall asleep before 8 o'clock and it's so frustrating to me. Well, you have to like step back and be like, okay, let me listen to that. Did they ask me for advice?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. You're like, yes.
No, I agree.
No, they
with
didn't.
You. No.
Do they want me? Do they just want to vent? Yes.
Let
them. Let them vent.
Right.
Don't even bring up your kid.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that's happening. If you want advice, I'm here. Like, you can say that. You don't have to automatically offer the advice.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's definitely better than
like you just
you
really,
shortcut to like, well, I'll tell you what we do.
Yeah, I'll tell you what works. And it's like, well, it worked for your kid, but it doesn't necessarily work for all kids.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not what they want, because I think maybe they'll get a little bit defensive too when you're like, suddenly you're an expert on my kid.
Right. Which is the opposite problem, which is you going like, hey, don't tell me how to raise my kid, which is like, they're telling you how to raise their kid. They're giving you some helpful advice. You can take it or not take it. It's not an insult.
I know, but you're not asking for it. You can't just give everybody advice all the time. It's annoying.
No, I obviously, then you'd be a blowhard who walked around saying, I know everything and here's what you should do.
I know.
That's not okay either. But it's one of those things where you can't, you have to sort of temper your expectations on either side of that line. Like if you're the person receiving the advice, they're not attacking you or telling you you're doing a bad job as a parent. They're giving you a suggestion because they got the impression that, oh, you have a problem. I have a potential solution if you would find that helpful. That can be a nice thing to do. It's not necessarily coming from a place of criticism.
Yeah, but and if they're not asking for it.
Yeah, if they're not asking for it, then also be mindful of like, maybe they don't want you to butt in here. Maybe what they're asking you for something, but it's not necessarily advice. It may just be
an ear.
I want an ear. I don't need an earful.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's hard to sometimes, because a lot of times when you ask for advice and you get a response, it is judgy. Like, why haven't you tried this? Gosh, are you stupid? Why didn't you feed your kid? That's why they wouldn't cry. Like, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it depends on how it's couched, too.
I mean, and that's not something that ever happens with my, like, in real life friends. I've, like, never.
No, this,
I've
that, never that's a, got, that sounds way more like an online response.
Yeah, because it's people you don't really know and they, you know, jump out of the woodwork.
And there's also you can't judge tone sometimes from text.
Yeah.
And that can be a problem, too. But yeah, you definitely get a little of that. So it's also, I mean, this is just a general thing for life. It's like if you're going to give someone advice, think about how you phrase it. You know, if you certainly phrase it in an attack mode as opposed to like, well, if one thing we tried that we found helpful was this, you're welcome to try that if you like.
Yeah.
That's a friendly piece of advice as opposed to like, oh, you're, you know, you need to do this. You have to do this. How come you haven't done that?
Yeah.
That's
accusatory is exactly not healthy for anybody.
So that covered all of the topics that I kind of had. Unless there's something more you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I'm good. We have some, I think we have a limerick to
we
read.
Do.
We have some fails and
we do.
You want to start with limerick?
Yeah, we can do limerick. So the way this works is if you review us on iTunes, I will write a limerick about you.
Yes, and I do want to apologize because this one has been on our iTunes page for a while.
We didn't notice it.
I was checking my phone for reviews, and for some reason they do not show up on my phone. So last week when I went to look
on our computer.
The computer, I noticed that there were two there, and I'm like, oh, crap.
So
we do apologize that this is an untimely response, but we thank you for reviewing us.
Yep.
Keep listening. Right. And here you go. This is for
Emily. I know a girl who's named Emily who likes a podcast about family. Her language and words are beautiful birds, and that's a metaphor, not a simile. There you go. Emily's a little tough to rhyme. Give me a break.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Bravo.
Yay, limericks.
Good job.
And Ireland's greatest art form.
So you too can have a limerick.
Mm-hmm.
Please post a review on iTunes.
Yes, please. So do you have, you want to do proud moment and parenting fail of the week?
Sure.
What would you like to start with?
I'll start with Farenting Pail.
Okay.
Because I just don't have one again. I know that makes me seem so stuck up. I just could not think of one. Why are you looking at me like that? You're like, I think
you wanted to start with it. You're like, okay, right out of the gate, I got nothing.
I know, I just want to get it out of the way and be like, okay. I don't have anything.
All right.
I mean, I was working hard last week alone, and then I was out of town for a few days, and okay. Here I am. So right. I don't have one. Go.
Mine was just that I lost my cool a little bit when she was having her, like, I refuse to go to sleep. Fight with me.
Oh, really? So,
I mean, I don't mean I like screamed in her face. I just, you know, I just.
What do you mean by lost it?
She was upstairs and I was kind of screaming a bit. I'm like, stop it! Like that. And hopefully she didn't hear me do that. But it was just so frustrating. It's like, kid, you need to sleep. You are dead tired. If you would just shut up, you might fall asleep.
I hope you didn't say shut up in front of her.
No. Like I said, she was upstairs, okay. And I was just, like, screaming. At one point, there's a function where you can talk into the speaker, and, like, she'd hear it in her room, and I'm like, go to sleep, Celeste.
Oh, how unhelpful, though.
I know.
I know this is a moment to, like, not ask for advice and to probably just vent a little bit.
I don't find
yelling to be effective at all.
No, it's not. But it was just so just like, please, why are you doing this? Just, if you were just, you know, imagine yourself as an adult trying to go to sleep while screaming into the pillow. Like, maybe if you stopped screaming, it might happen. And I just, I don't know why she wouldn't do it. I didn't know what was going on, but she just, it was getting to the point where it was absurd. And I felt bad. I was like, I don't want to leave her up there, but I kind of needed to. And so eventually after I brought her back down and we, you know, kind of, you know, I calmed her down a bit. Then we... we tried again. I got her to watch some Sesame Street and kind of break her train of thought.
Yeah.
Out of whatever was bothering her. And then she still stood there at the crib and like cried for like 15 minutes. And then she stood there without crying, like just being silent.
Maybe she just wasn't tired yet.
Oh, no. She was...
Past the point of tired?
She was way past the... She got to that point where she was
sometimes
overtired.
If you try too early, then you have the same problem.
No, this was the opposite, where she was, like, absolutely 100%, like, dead on her feet, tired.
Then the only thing you can do is just leave her.
Which is what I did.
And that's fine.
And then she passed out. So, but that was my fail. I definitely, like, could have tried to keep a lid on it a little more, but it was just... It was to a point where it was absurd.
Okay.
So, that's mine.
Okay.
But you were perfect this week, so there you go.
I'm sure there was something. I always try to, like, think about it throughout the week, and that nothing came to me.
Okay. So what was your, do you have a proud moment?
I just want to say that I think you do a really good job when I'm not around, and, like, I think I lose it, like, I get more bored easily at home and, like, complain maybe, not to her, but just being like, I don't know what to do, and, like, how am I going to keep her occupied, even on my off work days when I'm home with her, and I'm like, oh, I have to kill 2 hours. I don't know what to do with her. Like, I would just go out. But I think you're very good about keeping her occupied in the house, playing with her here, and not losing your patience like I do.
Okay.
Not where I lose my patience, like, that I never react to it and I'll get mad at her or anything. But
you find yourself going more stir crazy.
I go crazy, and I think you're just fine. I don't know what you do to not be crazy, stir crazy.
I usually do take her out somewhere, though. Okay. Like, that's what we did do. We went out a lot.
Okay.
And I can't remember what we did on Sunday. Oh, Sunday was that brunch with your friends. Okay. So, again, we got out of the house and we just did stuff.
I didn't come back that late on Sunday either. I think I was home at like 2.
Yeah. But thank you. I appreciate your vote of confidence. So mine for you was actually today. You went to go get your nails done, and you brought...
No, I didn't.
Oh, you went... Well, you went to the salon.
Right? I just went and visited my mom because I was in the Huntington area anyways.
But you got Celeste her first little... what would you call it? A manicure? Or got her nails done?
She got her nails painted for like 3 seconds.
I know, but...
I didn't pay for it or anything. The girls were just very nice and just... They cut her hair for free.
I know, but I don't know if you were thinking about this at the time, but like that's a very like mommy-daughter...
Okay.
Like, special. Like, that's technically your first one, I think. I don't think you've ever had any other thing like that. That was like, mommy and Cece are going to go do, you know, mommy-daughter stuff.
I've been, like, really looking forward to taking her to get her first manicure. Mm-hmm. This one didn't really count because we had to go really fast and, like, blow on her nails and make sure that she didn't touch them.
Well, she's so, young and squirmy.
Yeah.
But
thank you. I mean, it was the first of many.
I hope so.
There's a really cute place in a nearby city. They have mini... pedicure chairs that like they're shaped like cats, I think. friend. They're like the size of like for toddlers. It's super cute. I want to take her there.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that's
all we wrote.
That's all we wrote for this episode. We didn't have a whole lot mapped out.
How long have we been talking? Has it been long enough?
I'm sure it's been long enough.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
You're happy to have listened to us talk, and you're probably on to your next thing. So.
Well, we got somebody said that they were looking forward to our next podcast, and where was it?
Somebody said it. That's all that matters to me.
So thank you, so, and yeah. Hopefully this has satisfied your bundle of oi.
Your thirst. Yeah, and we'll be hopefully back on track in terms of getting our episodes out on Sunday nights.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, his case, so let's tell them about that. Yeah, so it's settled. He was going out of town for a couple weeks.
Yes, and it's settled.
And it settled a couple days ago.
No,
yesterday.
Just yesterday afternoon at about 4:30, it was over. So
it's over, and so Doug's in town again.
Yep, I'm back in town, and I'm not planning on going out anytime soon. My next out-of-town trial is in December, and I have an inkling that it's not actually going to happen.
What happened to the one? I thought there was one in Orange.
Yeah, but that's here. I don't have to go out of town for that.
Okay.
But yeah,
that still might occupy you.
Oh, that'll keep me
busy
for
long hours.
Yes, and it should happen. That's just before Halloween.
Okay.
But no, I won't be out of town.
Okay.
For that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. If you want to reach us,
send
us an email at bundleofoi@gmail.com.
And you can like our, we have a Facebook page, which is just Bundle of Oi, facebook.com/bundleofoi. And if you have any questions or comments you want us to tackle, you can send them to either of those two portals. And I think that'll do it for this episode.
All right.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will, here's to coming up with a fun sign off in the future.
Cheers.